Pleasure to have with us Rav Aaron Lapiansky, who's come for a number of years and been a very significant contributor to the Torah of our Din. So I just want to introduce him and thank him for coming. Bakasha.
Okay. It's very nice to come back here. One of the nice things about Silver Spring is just to make sure you're behaving, they send a committee from the local community just to make sure that I don't say anything improper and so on. So we have the Friedman with us to check up on me. That's nice. I wanted to say something, that I found very special at the yeshiva here. I've noticed from a lot of the boys in Silver Spring who've come here that a lot of them look forward to coming back here for like intercession or summer or whenever they have time to come back for 2 or 3 weeks to be mechazik themselves. Also, when they're not here, they come into the Beis Medrash and learn. The difference between a school and a yeshiva is a school, when you graduate, you're done. Maybe they tap into you for donations, but there's no point in coming back. Maybe you're 50th reunion or something. A yeshiva, if you click into what the yeshiva is supposed to give you, it's home. It's something that you come back to. It's something Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, people traditionally came back to yeshivas. Today, Yarkei Kalos have become very popular. It means that it's something for life. Even when you get married and you have your own family and children and grandchildren, your parents' home is still home to you. You still come there as a member of home. So I think it's something to think about, that if you get from the yeshiva what you're supposed to get, that type of attitude that you want to come back, that whenever you're busy, but whenever you have a chance, you come back and you touch base with yeshiva again and again, Rebbeim or Rebbeim that you touch base with again and again. I think that's a very important dimension of yeshiva that can't be stressed enough. Okay, so I guess the schedule we've set up was I would say something, and then there were questions people wanted addressed, so sort of split the time a bit. You have here the very first parsha in Truma is about the Aron. And one of the great and the deepest mysteries is the concept of the Kruvim. And besides the fact that it's kind of a bit at loggerheads with what we normally know about not making tsuros, there's a special heter. The pasuk says so, but there's talk about how come this is different. I'm not going to talk about it, but I'd like to speak about a certain akuda about the Kruvim. It says like this. You put the kaporos on the aron. In the aron, you put the edus. Whenever I touch base with you, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks with Klal Yisrael, it's there. I'll speak to you from on top of the kaporos. Now, whatever it is, as a metaphor, saying where HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks, but we get it. The Aron has the Torah in it, the Luchos in it. It is the holiest chafetz that Kasol possesses. And when there is Hashoras HaShechina and Dibur HaShechina, it's from on top of that. So the concept of on top of it, we understand it means this is where the Shechina resides above the holiest chafetz in place in Klal Yisrael. But there's one more word. Mibein shnei akruvim, Hashem is. From between the two kruvim. So why are the two kruvim the sort of bookends, so to speak, for the Shechina? On the kaporos, I understand. That's sort of a sense of being above the highest point. But between the two kruvim is something that is not at all apparent. What is it? It's worse than that. It's more than that. Rashi brings that it's a stira. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak to Moshe, Mok macho oimer, v'aydav Hashem elov me'oil moed leimor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu would speak to him in the Ol Moed, not in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Zeh mishter mechutz ha-pareches. Zeh tuk sumer ha-kish zeh seh. So it says that bo Moshe al-oil moed, and he would hear the kol speaking from the kaporas, Moshe nechas lemishkan, and the voice would come from the two kruvim and come out into Ol Moed. So this really makes it very hard to understand even the metaphor, because it's one thing you have places that are marked as being unique to connecting with Baruch Hu. Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, Har HaBayis, Beis HaMikdash, Ol Moed, Kodesh HaKadoshim. So a person is in a certain place, Tumas Mesim are also here, Tumas Yosim Buch is also here, Mitzorayim is also here. Fine, I get a picture of places that are more Kadosh, where I can connect more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's some Rishonim, Rabbi Sadigon, and the Rambam is ambivalent about it, but he accepts it as being a possibility, speak about something called Kavod Nivra, which means like fire that marks the spot. So it's a real entity, but all it is a marker. Okay, so if it would tell me, so if let's say it would be, we would say that Moshe Rabbeinu had to come, stand by the Kruvim, and that's where he would get the Dibur of Hashem. So we'd understand that's where you have to go to. Just like when I want to get Kedusha, I go to Beis HaMikdash. When I want to be Mischap, I go to Mizbeach. When I want to speak, when Moshe wants to speak, he goes there. But he wasn't standing there. He was standing outside in the Oel. There's a Paroches. So what does it mean the voice came down between the Kruvim and then went outside? Lamai Nafkamina. What exactly does it make a difference? They had recording equipment, maybe where to put the recording equipment. But what difference does it make? It's something that really, on a pshat level, an understanding of what is it that we're talking about on a level in words that we can have some keshet understanding. So the Gaon speaks about it in Kedusha HaGadlus. He shtels to a medrash. He brings a medrash. He says a few things. He doesn't quite connect it. So what I'm saying is on my responsibility. But I think the Gaon is the one who points the direction. He brings down a medrash in Pashas Kedoshim. It's a Vayikra, Perek Chaf Hei. It's Ois Hei. It says Mishas Vatuches Chachma. It's a pasuk in Iyov. Who gave wisdom? Who gave wisdom to Tvias? Either a parakeet or some other bird. Oy minosan, or peacock possibly. Minosan la sechvivina hadat hanigalta. Nosan la sechvivina is going on a rooster, a hen, and so on. What's the chachma that they have? And this is where the bracha nosan sechvivina comes from. According to the shittas, that sechvivina means a tarnagol. To this, Omer Levi. In the Arab lands, they would call a tarnagol a sechvi. And now the Medrash brings an example of the wisdom of a tarnagol. Hadot tarnagolta kar efrochayet dakikin, when its chicks are young and fragile, he mechan shalahoyin, she gathers them in, v'yahavas loin chas agapaya, it keeps it under its wings, and feeds them, it paves the way for them, feeds them, and so on. In other words, it looks in the bush for food and gives it to them. And when they grow up, so when a chick grows up and doesn't want to move on and it comes for its food, Vinokrele Bigoyreshe, it pecks it on its head, Vamarlin, it tells it, Zilla Dobriku Kalto. Go look for yourself, fend for yourself. Kach, when Klausel was in the middle of 40 years, the mon came down, the bear, and so on and so forth, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe told them each one needs to do it on his own. That's the Medrash. And the Gaon compares it, and the Gaon says the more somebody is young and helpless, the more Hashkach there is. I guess along the line of Shem Epsayim Hashem, and the older he gets and the more he can stand on his own feet, he's less and less Ashkach. That's what the Gaon says, pretty much. He leaves, doesn't clarify exactly. So what is Chazal telling us? What does the guy want with this? He says the word kruv is like the Gemara says kiravya, it's like a baby face. So the kruvim represents some sort of baby face, and that's what we have there. And that's why the Ashgacha keeps something along those lines. Not the Goyen, whatever he feels you can do on your own, like this time Golta, but whatever he figures you can do on your own, he pushes you to do on your own. So the Goyen here, I think, is explaining a very, very fundamental yesod in Ruchnius, and it's really, in a certain sense, a Briah HaTichon, in a certain tension in Torah, between, on the one hand, Torah is given for us to understand. Torah is given for us to know. And therefore, a person is supposed to learn it, argue it, decide, be machria, and come up with psak halacha. And he's supposed to stand on his own 2 feet. Leva shemaini. So Torah, by standing on a person's das and seichel, until a person, when a person becomes a Bari Ra, so a person is supposed to decide with his own seichel, his own das. But at that point, he in a certain sense, it's over with. There's nothing more coming. So the Goyen says, every person needs to have 2 layers in himself. His innermost layer is still a child, because wherever we're holding in Chachma, as far as we've climbed up the mountain, we are somewhere, and we are way beyond, way before the peak, no matter how far we climb. So in a person himself, you have the part that he's accomplished and has become his and stands on his own feet. And then you have the part that is the same young child in quest of knowledge, understanding that he knows not and needs to have input. So I think what the Goyen is saying is Klal Yisrael has in itself, Zacharti lo chesed nurayach, is talking about the relationship, but it's also talking about the mental state of a person who knows that he knows nothing. And now he is looking up to Shemayim to hear, to know. And the Kuda of that needs to always be preserved in Klal Yisrael. So the Kruvim are the Tzura of Klal Yisrael, like a Gomel. Gomul, a child who's nursing on his mother. There's a nekuda, the most pneumistic nekuda of Klal Yisrael is a quest for chachma with the understanding that they don't know yet. So on the one hand, as the child grows, in the part of the child that has grown, and the part of the child that is already mature, we're expected to fend on his own. He's supposed to come up with the answer on his own. And then there's a part of him that is always looking. And in the chelik that you don't know, you're like that child. The problem is, sometimes we make sure, we forget that there's a lot more than what we understand. And once that happens, it dries up. It's really, this is the integration of Torah Shebiksav with Torah Shebal Peh. Torah Shebiksav is revealed chachma. It's a Dvar Hashem. Torah Shebal Peh is the Chachma that we've extrapolated and we've come to understanding by using our Seichel and only our Seichel. So Torah Shebal Peh and Torah Shebal Peh are very different. One is Koyama Hashem and one is Amar B'Yehuda, Amar B'Yosi. The Arachayim HaKadosh says that the reason why the Gemara puts so much emphasis on darshing psukim, when really sometimes it seems as if the halacha is psuka anyway. We know what the halacha is. The darshing of psukim seems to be somewhat belabored. And the Arachayim HaKadosh says, he brings the Gemara of Akiva, there was koishik sorim, to the Isis. He says that Iker Avodas Adam, since Matan Torah, is to keep the bond between Torah Shebekhtav and Torah Shebaalpeh. On a more panemistic level, it means Torah Shebekhtav is Dvar Hashem Shebayim. Torah Shebaalpeh is my thinking and my insight. And I need to constantly couple them. I need to constantly understand that my Torah Shebaalpeh is coming from there. And I need to be open to knowing more, understanding more. The danger, if a person stays only with the Torah Shebekhtav, only what the words I'm told with to do, then I never grow and become an adult and become my own person. But if a person forgets the Naira Shebaalpeh, then a lot of times he segues from what does the Torah mean to what would I like to say. Because at the end of the day, it's about me. If I say something bright, sharp, deep, interesting, engaging, provocative, then I get a lot of splash for it. But that's not where it's coming from. When I segue, when I move and derail it from Dvar Hashem, it's not Torah Shebaalpeh anymore. It's not Torah. It's Megalat Poim Torah Shebaalpeh Halacha. The real kesha is when I spend my time using my Seichan Das, asking myself, what is really the halacha? What does the pasuk really mean? What are Kadosh Baruch Hu tell us? And ask me tremendous honesty, because it's not always what we want it to be. You know, it's not always what we would like it to be. It's, we have to be honest. So Torah, it demands a tremendous tension of two almost polar opposite kohos. One is a total need to rely on my seichel and dasi machmir halacha, and it needs a total hizbatlus, the Dvar Hashem, that I honestly say to myself, I'm starting with ground zero. What does it say? What does it honestly read? What do the rayas show? And so on. So the kruvim are the extraordinary nekuda of Klal Yisrael as a yonik, as someone who's still ready to receive and open to understand and so on. I mentioned a few times, a person I was very impressed about a certain thing. Revolba was another big mashgiach in Bali Musa and so on in the yeshiva world. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochum, and Rabbi Yochum was his Rebbe, and wrote a book about him, and everything was Rabbi Yochum, and this was his life. At the age of 60, he chanced upon Rav Hutna, and he really felt this is another chelik of Torah that he needs, and he wrote a second sefer saying, well, this sefer was written with the influence of someone else also on me. And I said to myself, you know, at the age of 60s, when you basically finalize your retirement plans and write your memoirs and make aliyah, you know, if you haven't done it till now, that's usually what happens at 60. Here's a person who said, wow, there's another chelik of Torah that I was open to, and with the same eagerness of a 16-year-old. That's somebody who still has an akuda of that kravya, like a child. The pnimius of a person, no matter how sophisticated and smart and accomplished he's become with a seichel and das, the real kodesh of a person is that open child who, in his own mind, is like tabula rasa. In his own mind, he's a blank slate waiting to hear more Torah or new Torah, a Dvar Hashem. That was the point I wanted to speak about.